And welcome to another.
And welcome
to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes, and you can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
What is going on?
At DFF_Madman and Shane Manila.
So I'm just wondering, did you leave in the bit last week about us being three married
partners? That's partly why I just laughed when I said "and my partners," because that's what I thought of about what you said last week. Yes.
Did you leave that in the show?
I did leave that in the show. Yes.
I got surprisingly few comments about that. I wasn't sure,
because everybody agrees that we are partners. It's not that unusual to say.
No, it's not unusual for three men to be life partners. It's, you know, love.
Business partners. Come on, dude.
No, I like life partners better, dude. Business partners sounds like we're making money.
It makes Shane uncomfortable. That's what's great.
Yeah, but business partners sounds like we're making money. We're not making any money.
I don't care. Life partners. Yeah, I've kissed guys on the lips, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, have you? Okay. Well, at DFF_Shane.
Oh, that's me. Hey now.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. And I don't understand why people do think there is something wrong with that. That just makes no sense to me.
I don't want to get too off on a tangent, because I lost a lot of my Southern listeners or my Southern followers this week when I tweeted out, fuck Alabama. Because apparently one of their PBS stations in Alabama refused to air the season premiere of Arthur, which, one, I didn't even know that cartoon was still on.
Oh, my gosh.
Because there was a same-sex marriage in the episode. They're fucking cartoon aardvarks, people.
It makes no sense to me why anybody cares. Why should anybody care who loves who? Let people love each other.
See that elsewhere, like in the real world. Like, I don't know. You know, at Olive Garden, for instance. I mean, you're going to see stuff like that. Their kids are. So what point are you making?
I'll tell you what. I would agree with them if a human was marrying an aardvark, regardless of sexual orientation, because I do not agree with that. I will say that. But that wasn't the situation.
You have to have manners.
You know, it's so funny, because for a second there, you scared me because I thought you were going to say something different.
No.
But that's, yes, I agree.
The only place I draw the line is you should be with your own species. And I say should, because look, I'm not going to judge every situation.
We have got so far off of the tangent of what we're supposed to be doing here. And what's really funny, we have our very own Alec Baldwin just popped in the show while we're sitting here talking. Our guest popped in before we were able to finish doing the opening, but Scott Barrett's here.
All right, Scott, I just wanted to know, what is your stance on aardvark human interspecies marriage?
And this is important. Please think about your answer.
Yeah, so I'm a pretty conservative guy. I think, you know, marriage is a sacred act between only a man and an aardvark. So yeah, I definitely support that.
Oh my God.
There you go.
It's so sad that people care and get all so upset about when two people love each other. Who cares?
Life is too short to worry about other people's business so much.
Let people be happy. But hey, Scott, thanks for coming back. I know that you said that you're willing to come anytime we ask you. So we asked you and you came right back. So thank you very much.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I'll just apologize in advance. My desktop's down. So I do have to take this call from my phone. So apologies if the connection's a little poor.
No worries.
He's actually calling from prison, and he's dedicated. That's what I appreciate about him, is that he's like, look, I don't care if I'm in lockup. I'm still making this show.
I get one phone call. I'm using it on you guys.
Sweet. That's awesome. So before we get into everything else, we were still doing the opening of the show when you came in, and we didn't talk about our news brought to you by RotoSurance. So if you go to RotoSurance.com, put in Dynasty Trades HQ, all in caps, and you'll get your 20% off. Shane, what was the top news story?
Well, so we have actual news this week, so I don't just have to pretend there's news. But Julian Edelman signed a 2-year extension through 2021. $18 million guaranteed. I looked on SpoTrack, and I did not see the exact breakdown of it, though, on there yet. So I don't know if they can cut him, you know, before 2021, what that hit would be. But I'm reading the tea leaves, and that tells me Tom Brady is going to retire after the 2021 season at the age of 47. Is that how old?
59.
59. Okay. I honestly have no idea how old that Android is.
Yeah. Either one of you guys could be correct. We'd all just say yes, not knowing.
So, just curious, is anyone or everyone, I'm willing, would you guys be willing to give up a first-round rookie pick for Mr. Edelman, 2019? Say the 110. Obviously, you're a contending team.
Well, yeah, if you're a contending team, and at the end of the round, sure, I guess so. If you needed a wide receiver, you know, because I've always said I'd rather have the guy that I can put on my roster to start on Sunday than to worry right. about some rookie that may play someday 2 years from now.
But either way, I mean, it depends on what your team situation is. I traded him off of team, an orphan that I took over because I had like three vet older players and then a bunch of youth, and I built and I had, you know, Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, and wow, these guys are going to lead me to the promised land. I doubt it with the rest of that roster. So I got rid of both of them and Le'Veon Bell. Would I do that on most teams I have? Probably not. I'm going to keep Edelman and Tom Brady as long as I can. And try to win again, but you know.
What are you taking at the 110 right now, anyway, Shane?
Paris Campbell.
There's literally every draft is different.
It seems that way. It is. There's so many drafts going around, and every draft is different.
One of about six guys available from like 110 to 204.
Yeah, the only player I'm going to rule out for you real quick is just Hakeem Butler. You're not taking him.
No, I'm not taking him. But you know, there's Jay Jaw. There's Debo, there's Paris Campbell, there's Marquise Brown.
And Paris Campbell's not even fallen that far in the last few. He's been higher than 110.
I saw McCole Hardman go early. A couple drafts. I know Jim Day would have been happy with that last week's guest. McCole Hardman actually went off the board today in front of me, and I traded up and picked Hockinson. My first share of Hockinson in a tight end premium league.
So I guess what you're saying then is if you're a contending team and you're looking to win again this year, you would rather have Edelman over any of those guys, which I guess I would too, probably.
A season to him.
What about you, Scott? I forgot you're there on your phone in prison.
I think he's one of those borderline picks where he's, you know, you could make the case at 112. I think really I'd rather pay an early second round just due to his age and extensive injury history. But I'm definitely predicting, you know, top 15 fantasy production from him this year.
He should definitely have a big year. Now, I wonder, I guess the harder question I should say would be, would you be willing to give up a 2020 first rounder? Because one, you don't know where it's going to be. And two, that class is stacked.
Yeah, but you know what?
You don't believe in rookies. I know. They
I know.
Don't exist.
It's not that they don't exist.
When you're die literally at any moment, so there's no reason to trade for the future.
Can I say, you made that joke a couple times a couple weeks ago, and now I've been in a few startups, and I have been trading away all my picks just to get players, because you're right, you have no idea what tomorrow's going to bring, so I'd rather build some teams that I can play with now than worry about next year. And the other thing is, you can always get next year's picks. Yeah. Some other time, you know, might as well get, especially in these startups. I mean, Jeremy, we're in a startup right now, you know, the whole show is in a startup. Yeah. Trade alert. We're the entire show. Dynasty Trades HQ is in a startup right now. Did you know that, Shane?
Yeah, Shane.
Which with who?
Now, apparently not with you.
Okay.
No, just kind of like when you always say that about us being in one we didn't know. Jeremy, we were talking about a Dynasty Degenerates 4 is an all podcast about.
Oh, yeah, I joined that.
Yeah, we got an invitation to join it. Did you join it?
Oh, he didn't actually send me the invite. I thought I was joining it without telling you guys. I was going to break the news to you in like week 9.
Well, we've already drafted players. It's gone really well.
Well, I'm leaving.
It was funny. It was funny though, because we got the invite and Jeremy, it only had mine and Jeremy's name. And Jeremy's like, wait, it only has our two names. We got to spring it on Shane during the show.
Frank.
Hey, Scott. we're already in the second round of the draft, and our team already has Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, and Mike Evans.
Well, I don't care, because I don't know about this league.
You do care. We're going
to
win.
I'm inviting people to join that league today. Well, I invited the Ball Blast'em girls
a lot of people tried to invite them, but they said they're already leagued out, so they're not doing it.
They were going to join.
Well, that's not what they
were going to join after I asked, but now that I find out that the apparently we're in the third round. Scott, have you ever heard of such a thing?
I haven't.
Well, yeah, we've already done two trades today, and now we're at the end of the second round, and we have Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, and Mike Evans.
Oh, well, screw you guys. More importantly, so we got some more news.
Yes.
Carson Wentz.
Right.
Carson Wentz, who I believe Scott Barrett owns in the DFB Invitational.
Do you, Scott?
No restrictions. Going to be the MVP this year.
Sure, yeah.
No restrictions, though. There was some concern that his back wasn't healed enough and he wouldn't be able to go. But full go, no restrictions. And he's not wearing a leg brace this year.
It's actually huge. I talked to someone in the know, hashtag sources, who said that's exactly what you want to hear regarding Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't full systems go, it's time to panic a little bit. And I would have sent you guys a trade offer.
That's really nice of you, Scott.
Thank you so much, Scott. We really appreciate that.
And then,
speaking of that, though, in a little bit, we have to get into your proposition that we look at your rookies and maybe float an offer out there because you put them on your trade block.
But we have Hakeem Butler, right? Do you want to trade him, Hakeem Butler?
Yeah, we'll give you him. Sure.
Hard pass.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we did that rookie draft prior to the NFL rookie draft. So
there's no excuses. Don't make
excuses. Sure, there's excuses.
It was a bad pick when we made it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The worst pick now, but it was a bad pick at the time. And
if we hadn't made it, Bob Harris would have ended up with him, and it would have solved all of our worries. We would have ended up with anything but Hakeem Butler. Oh, well.
Such is life. And then Tyler Kroft foot surgery on Tuesday. He's going to be out 3 to 4 months, and he actually missed the last 11 weeks of last year due to his injured foot.
It's a shame. He was a value guy. I had him in so many places, and now he's on my IR.
Here's the thing, though. So he's not a big name, right? So if you know anyone that's still trying to, like, get a sneaky tight end, just offer him around your league. I don't give a shit. Look, here's my thing.
I love your strategy. Thanks.
It's your job to check the news, right? Every time I get an offer on a player, the first thing I do on MFL is I hit the player's link to see if there's any news. Yep. And then I go check Twitter. I type their name in. Yeah. I'm like, oh, someone sent me an offer for Zeke. Did he happen to push someone over? Did he happen to push someone over a barricade today? You know, stuff like that.
That's funny. I always check Twitter first. Also, I don't check MFL first. I usually check Twitter first.
I just check. You know, I'll Google their name too, or I'll just, you know, I'll be like, okay, Google, has Zeke Elliott gone to prison today? And then she'll let me know. Hey, Scott actually wrote an article. He probably didn't write it today, I'm guessing, but it did come out today.
I was going to say, Scott.
The Bell report?
Yeah.
But wait, Scott, before you talk about your article, why don't you tell everybody, because we kind of slipped you in there everything.
Hold on, trade alert.
Wait.
No, I'm not taking
Scott
that.
Shut up.
Who is this guy?
Scott, tell everybody about yourself before we talk about your injury report and your Bell Cow report.
Hello? Can you guys hear me? You guys are cutting out a little bit. I'm sorry.
We can hear you now. So why don't you tell everybody about you and where they can find you?
So I'm Scott Barrett. You can find me on...
All right. So, yeah, we just lost Scott again. So while we try to get him back, Shane, why don't you tell everybody about our Patreon account before we go into the Scouting Academy?
Yeah, so I don't know if you're aware, guys, but we actually do have a Patreon account. You go on the Patreon page. You can hit up Dynasty Trades HQ, all one word. Or you can actually, you know, just reach out to us. It's probably in the Dynasty Trades HQ handle. The link is there. We got a GroupMe chat that is basically nonstop.
Oh my God, that's insane.
Yeah, like I try to ignore it. I got it on mute. I keep my phone face down. And I got to be honest with you, like every 10 minutes, I'm like, I wonder what they're talking about. So then I'll jump back in. You know, besides that, you also get the bonus podcast every week. We don't take vacations from the bonus podcast. You homies get that. That actually drops before the regular show. Then you get the uncensored version of this show, which if you haven't listened to that, you really should, because it's freaking hilarious. like I said, but if you don't believe me, just go check out our go on iTunes, check out our ratings. These are people that, you know, took time to go ahead and give us their ratings. We didn't force them to. I mean, I might have forced my kid, but whatever. But most of them, it's of their own free volition. They all say the same thing, man. This show's hilarious. It's informative, and the patron version and being a patron is well worth the cost.
Thousands of your friends are listening to us right now.
Yeah, I'm not trying to brag or boast, but I think, you know, we give you a great bang for your buck and the best bang for your buck out there. That's going to put it out there. So, you know, go become a patron. We got a couple different tiers, whatever you're comfortable with. No one's going to shame you. You want to pay $300 a month to be a patron? You do that.
Yes, it's a lot of fun, and we have a lot of fun doing it, and we're really happy that people like it. So let's hear from the Scouting Academy, and then hopefully we'll get Scott back on the air.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
Yeah, so Scouting Academy, it's awesome to learn how to be a scout and go save yourself $50. $50. Hit the link on our site. And so the question of shame this week, and it belongs to me, and this is just to show you, one, I don't take myself very seriously and no one else does. But this question is not to make people feel bad. It's so that we can make fun of them.
Okay.
So this week, my question, and I put it to the room. I said, hey, should I trade Sam Darnold and Calvin Ridley for DeAndre Hopkins and Joe Flacco?
What the hell, man?
I would do that because then you get DeAndre Hopkins and Joe Flacco would be behind the other guys anyways. So why is that stupid?
No, because why are you even asking the question, you dumbass? You don't need to come to ask a group of people that. That's like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm hungry. Should I eat?
Right.
Yeah. I was confused. I thought you were asking opinion, but you were saying that it's stupid question to even ask.
I didn't
explain
the segment to you guys before I created it in my head today.
Wait a second. What's all that noise? Is Scott Barrett back?
Scott's back.
Guys, it's a jailbreak.
Run, Scott. Run. Nice. Zigzag. Zigzag.
Are you okay now?
He's on the lamp.
So the idea behind question of shame is it's a question you shouldn't even ask out loud
or in
written form. But I gave the first one to myself just so people don't feel bad when I make fun of them later.
Okay. So then, yes, you're right. That is a pretty bad question because we all thought, well, of course you would do that trade. So,
exactly.
All right, so what we were going to do tonight was we were going to answer some Patreon questions. And now that we have Scott back, he could be part of that conversation as well.
Yeah, these are actually questions that we're supposed to ask Scott. He's supposed to answer them.
Because he's smarter than us.
Is he? Scott, are you there? Are you smarter than us?
Yes, I am.
Absolutely.
I'm here and I'm smart.
So then, who is your Tyler Boyd of 2019?
So that's a good question. You know, I could say someone like Gerald Everett, let's say, a player I liked a lot in college who hasn't done much in the NFL. But really those Tyler Boyd types, guys who are just MIA for 2 or 3 years of their career and then break out, that typically doesn't happen. So I'd say probably a younger guy. I've written quite a bit about Kiki Kuti, who I love.
I was going to ask you if you would trade Julian Edelman for Kiki Kuti. Good job. Yeah, no, that's a good answer.
So Kiki Kuti's ADP is absurd in both redraft and dynasty. Whoa. And he's actually cheaper in dynasty than redraft, even though he's months younger than Andy Isabella, weeks younger than JJ Arcega-Whiteside. He played last year hurt, was phenomenal when he was on the field. He caught something like 12 receptions in his NFL debut. And I think only two players, including Edelman, ever had more receptions in their NFL debut. It's obvious the team likes him a lot. Can you guys hear me? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, and Anthony Miller is another guy I've written about a lot. Just another injury discount. At multiple times across the point of last season, his shoulder literally became like separated from his body and had to get popped back in. And he played pretty much every game hurt. Loved this guy coming out of college, so have a lot of hope for him. And then Hunter Henry, who I drafted in DFB and love, he was the next breakout superstar, putting up, you know, never before seen numbers. Just one of our top two highest graded tight ends. I really think a breakout's coming in for him this year, and it should have came last year.
Yeah, and the Hunter Henry one's interesting because I'm actually working on our redraft guide, so I was just pouring through some stats lately, and I also wanted to feel like Scott Barrett. I don't have the hair to pull it off, but I tried. Hunter Henry scored, 10 points a game in his rookie season, and he was only running 68% of the snaps. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really nice for him to actually be a full-time starting tight end on that roster with Antonio Gates finally, like, gone.
That's right.
Thank you.
So
that's the first time anyone has ever said that to him.
So the second question we got from our patrons, they wanted to ask you, who is your favorite player you have ever hit on, or possibly some of your more notable hits that you've come up with?
So I don't know who asked me this, but I love this question. It's such a play on my vanity, which I will handsomely reward with a long drawn out answer. Last year I quietly just about hit Yahtzee. You know, I wrote James Conner up in multiple articles as a top value while Le'Veon Bell was going as the first overall pick. This is back in July.
I remember that.
I said Christian McCaffrey. I like him more than I'm higher on him than anyone else, and I will die on that hill. People were talking about him as just a scat back only type. No, he was a bell cow. Crushed it. My top two quarterbacks were Matt Ryan and Jameis Winston. Matt Ryan, if Patrick Mahomes didn't exist, Matt Ryan might be the number one quarterback in redraft leagues. He finished second in fantasy points, a top 15 all-time season. And then Winston, him and Fitzpatrick combined to put up just as many fantasy points as Patrick Mahomes, you know, fourth most passing yards in NFL history as a team. And then there were other guys too. I hit on Robert Woods, I think, was my highest owned wide receiver in redraft leagues. But yeah, if I hit on Mahomes, let's say, instead of Matt Ryan, it would have been just like a Yahtzee year for me.
Yeah.
Only really serious miss was Jordan Reed. And then the year before that, I was super high on Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt. I called Kareem Hunt a fantasy league winner in an article before Spencer Ware ever went down with an injury. But my best hit ever was actually my first ever article for PFF. It was like an arbitrage column, who to buy and sell at ADP. And like literally every single call was 100% right. It was sell Matt Ryan, had a brutal year. By Cam Newton, who finished that season first in fantasy points. By Jordan Reed, who finished first in fantasy points per game. Sell Jordan Cameron, who was unstartable. And just like basically every single call, was 100% right. Like it couldn't even, if you had hindsight, you couldn't have done it any better than I did it. And it was just like exactly what I needed at that point in my career, where I didn't have much confidence. And like that definitely helped. Also, my first ever fantasy article, back when I was a baseball writer, I predicted R.A. Dickey's Cy Young year, like 2 weeks in the season. And I did it half jokingly. So definitely have had a lot of luck behind me, behind some of these calls.
I don't think so. I mean, the reason we like having you on the show and a reason you've become such a good friend of ours is because of how smart you are and how right you are. It's hard for us to find people that are like us and are also smart and correct most of the time. And so that's why we like to rub elbows with you on the show.
I will say, the smartest and most right fantasy expert, and not just right, but being right about why they're right, and then being able to explain that simply and eloquently is Adam Harstad. So if your followers don't follow him on Twitter, make sure you do. He's had a profound impact, like mentor style to my career in the industry. And just like, I'm continually blown away by just how smart that guy is.
Yeah, he's good.
Well, this isn't on the show sheet, but what predictions do you have for this year?
That's a good question. I'm still kind of sorting through that. But my most recent tweet was talking about Lamar Jackson as a potential league winner and the best overall value in current redraft leagues.
But not dynasty leagues, right? Redraft leagues. Yeah.
I mean, dynasty leagues too. It's just, you know, Konami code is huge. I think I don't think he's a great or accurate passer, but I think he's underrated in that department. Kyler Murray is kind of getting all of the hype he should get. They rebuilt the offense for him, brought in a ton of speed. I could really see them mimicking Lincoln Riley's offense, which should do wonders for him. And as long as Baltimore doesn't like break every record in run percentage next year,
right?
You know, I could see, you know, really incredible things coming for him, because, you know, you cannot understate the Konami code. If you can make Tim Tebow a QB1, it's the real deal.
Yeah, it's like Lamar Miller was made for fantasy football.
Jackson, you did the thing I did.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson was made for fantasy. And Lamar Miller, too. Don't discount Lamar Miller.
Well, speaking of Lamar Miller, even though that was a mistake, you published an article called The Bell Cow Report. Would you like to tell people about that?
Yeah, a little bit. I do this every year, and it's just basically like a massive edge in redraft leagues specifically, but also dynasty leagues, which is just like with the running back position, you know, zero RB advocates make some good arguments, but the thesis overall fails. So what I do with running backs is I take the best components to zero RB while also not neglecting, you know, the Uber backs, and it's just, I go bell cow or bust. I want guys on the field, all three downs, highly in snaps, carries, and targets, but also percentage of snaps, carries, and targets. Just makes them less game script sensitive, more consistent on a week-to-week basis. But so I think you brought this up because I reached out to one of you guys, and I said, oh, I want to talk about my article that drops tomorrow, but the wrong article dropped. I wanted to talk about an article coming out in a few days on breakout grades is what I call it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, awesome.
Go for it.
Yeah, talk about whichever article you want to talk about.
I put the wrong one on the sheet.
So I was late to the breakout age party. But now I'm 100% a true believer. Just the hit rate on that stat is incredible. If you're not familiar, check out Sean Siegel's article on it or John Moore's article on it. It's just really, the hit rate is remarkable. And it makes sense intuitively as well. If a player is crushing the competition at the age of 19 up against 21-year-old cornerbacks, that's a really good positive indicator that these guys have a surplus of natural talent. You know, they're not still developing. So then it just the odds are, if they can adjust to that competition at the college level, they should be able to do it at the NFL level as well. You know, Adam Harstad, who I just gave a shout out to, he said it was something like, you know, if you could play one season with an arm literally tied behind your back and be super productive, that's a great indicator that you're going to be successful in the NFL. And playing, being a wide receiver one at 19 years old is really similar to that. So my article is coming out looking at breakout grades. So rather than market share, it's looking at their PFF grades by various age thresholds. And what I found with that, I think, is like super important for Devy and dynasty leagues. Mm-hmm. It touches on what Shane was talking about earlier, which is just that the last four wide receiver classes to come out have been really not good, except for guys like Kiki Kuti, Juju Smith-Schuster, N'Keal Harry. But the next two wide receiver classes, oh boy, they are special.
Oh, they are. Jerry, Judy, and the gang.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, so when did you become a, when did you discover Breakout Age? Like, when did you, I don't want to say discovered, I guess, when did you actually buy into it, I should say?
Yeah, way too late, but it was, I didn't like N'Keal Harry. I was kind of lower on him than most people. I just didn't really love his tape, didn't pop in a lot of stats. And then, you know, when Bill Belichick takes him as the wide receiver two in the first round, you know, it made me reevaluate things. And I had a long conversation with John Moore, who's kind of an expert in this, and he just really sold me on it. And then, you know, the data speaks for itself. It's just really fantastic hit rates. But some other breakout grade guys to look at, definitely Kiki Kuti, but also Greg Dortch, who's an undrafted free agent. He needs to be owned in all deep dynasty leagues.
Yeah, I like Greg Dortch. Yeah, it's funny. John Moore and Sean, is it Siegel? Because I never really know how to pronounce his last name.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
I did a thing on Juju Smith-Schuster 2 years back, and you know why he was falling in rookie drafts. I wrote it before before he was drafted by the Steelers, but I cited those two and Breakout Age, you know, was the biggest reason I bumped him up so high. It was the biggest, but there were plenty of them. He was falling to the end of the first round, which was kind of and into the second round, which was ridiculous. And you know, reading up on John Moore and those guys were. Sean and John were really, just like cutting edge with some of those metrics in the early days. And I think they were onto something big. I mean, I know the zero running back you were talking about that as not being maybe as sound of a strategy, but some of the things that we do look at in dynasty football, like breakout age and, you know, market share and all these things that were, you know, not that long ago established as metrics to use, really, you know, have held their ground. I mean, they're things that people should be looking at with Devy and you know, rookie picks. And I don't think that people are, you know, by and large looking at that in that kind of depth. You know, they like their players and, you know, they're not thinking about things like that to that degree.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember, so Siegel's invention of the stat was 2014. And, you know, I'm just finally hopping on the bandwagon now, 5 years later. So he's a legend, incredible work. Like I said, I'm critical of zero RB, but much less so
I am too
in dynasty leagues. And it's also like probably the best fantasy article of all time.
Yeah, all these strategies are good. I think one thing I've run into drafting for, you know, so many teams over so many years is that if everyone's going zero running back, you might not want to go that way because those players are going to fall in your lap and you probably want them on your roster. You know, not that it can't work, but, you know, not everybody can be doing it and you also be successful.
After that article came out, for the next 3 years, like main event leagues and Football Guys Players Championship leagues, there was at least like four teams going zero RB. So like I would just clean up every single year drafting Matt Forte.
Yep.
Marshall Lynch, I didn't want to, but it's just like he's there. So I'm going to take him. Yeah.
Right.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome when people were doing that.
What was silly about that though, and Scott touched on that earlier, talking about you want guys that are on the field all three downs. Well, Matt Forte was on the field all three downs. Like you didn't need to go zero RB to get the best of it right there because you got the two down guy and then he also was the best pass caster in that backfield. I think a lot of people fail at zero RB because they try to keep the same running backs year to year. Like, oh, well, Theo Riddick had 80 receptions last year, so I'm going to use him again next year when those guys are replaceable, like, and they get replaced and you see it.
So the last question we had here was actually not from a Patreon, I believe. Was it Shane or Jeremy? Which one of you guys wrote this question?
Maybe. We'll see how Scott feels about the question.
Oh, okay. Then you can tell us which one wrote it. Shane, go ahead and read it to him.
Why do I have to read? What do you?
Okay. I thought it was from literacy? You. Here, yes. No, but I will read it. Fine.
I'm gonna go ahead and read Shane's question.
Jeremy. All right. So wait. All right. So Jeremy will read it, and then you can decide who wrote it.
I feel like Charlie from Always Sunny. Like, you guys think I'm illiterate.
No. How do you handle offensive players? This is going to be a really insulting question.
Wait.
Forget it. I'm not doing it. How do you handle offensive players from teams with new head coaches with no offensive play calling track record or from the defensive side of coaching when their OC also doesn't have any experience? You know what? I don't even know what the hell this means.
Well, it's missing some commas.
So, in other words, like I said before, it's a question from Shane. Shane, yeah, why don't you read your question? Well, that was the reason.
I actually think it's a good question.
Yeah, it's just worded poorly. Look, it's not like I'm a writer or an editor. I don't know what you expect from me, guys. Yeah, basically, I want to know when an offensive, you know, what do you do with the offensive players on a team where the head coach has no offensive game calling experience and neither does DOC?
Right. So I do a big article every single year looking at the coaching changes, coaching tendencies. And I don't just go off of offensive coordinator, head coach. I go off of who the actual play caller is. Yeah. So if there's a brand new play caller in who has never called plays before, I do two things. One, I kind of demote all the players a little bit because you want play callers with experience, and I don't think that's a good thing. Two, I look at what system did they come from. Did they come from the Andy Reid system? If so, I'm going to bump up tight ends a little bit. Good chance of there being a bell cow productive running back. And so I'll just do that all around. You know, it's not super accurate, but it's probably the best guess.
It's telling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, this just stems from me working on the redraft guide, and I'm looking at the coaching changes, and, you know, I get to not, you know, like Arizona, it's kind of easy to figure out what Cliff Kingsbury's going to do, but then you look at Cincinnati or Miami and you're like,
Minnesota too, I think.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
But at least Minnesota, you have even that little three-game sample, and you knew what those marching orders were. Mm-hmm. It was like, look, we're shit-canning John DeFilippo because he's throwing the ball too much. Run the ball, asshole. So you kind of get the feeling that Minnesota's going to run a little bit.
Right.
That was the exact conversation quoted by
Shane. I have sources, too.
They also just brought in, who is it? I think Norv Turner as like assistant head coach or whatever. Yeah. And he loves to run the ball. I think every year he was an offensive coordinator, his teams have ranked top five in rushing yards. So it's really good news for Dalvin Cook.
You know, the thing that excites me, really, I mean, Cincinnati has a lot of offensive firepower, a lot of weapons. And after Jay Gruden left for, you know, Washington, it's really stagnated. Well, I mean, you know, they've never been, played as well as they could have under that regime, but they did play pretty well when Jay Gruden was there, and it's
almost like QB5 that last.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't hate on Dalton. He's always been an okay guy to have as your like second quarterback in Superflex. And all jokes aside, he used to be really good in a certain system, and he has everything that you need to, you know, be a capable fantasy quarterback, a capable quarterback for that team. I'm excited to see where they go because Dalton's not old yet. He's had some stupid injuries, like breaking his, you know, bones in his hand trying to make a tackle on a linebacker that intercepted him, stuff like that. I mean, he's just like done, you know, dumb stuff. It's nothing major. I'm just saying that guy can play for a while. He's good. I think that's a team with A.J. Green and the other weapons that they have at running back and Mixon. I think that they could take a huge step forward this year, but that's dependent on, you know, the guy that they brought in. What do you think about that situation? Have you looked at that at all?
Yeah, you're right. It's really hard to say. I think the regime change should be good for Joe Mixon. This is a guy who's one of the most efficient pass catching running backs in PFF college history, ranks like top five in yards per route run across his college career, just ahead of Alvin Kamara, just below Christian McCaffrey, was one of our highest graded running backs as a pass catcher that year. Our comp for him coming out was Matt Forte, but you've seen these past few years, Gio Bernard taking way too high for my liking, a share in target. So hopefully they just use him as the bell cow and Gio sits on the bench for pretty much the whole game.
Well, I actually like Gio.
He's a good change of pace.
I like Gio Mixon obviously a lot better. It'd be nice if Gio could just go somewhere else. I don't know where because it's after the draft, so most of the backfields are kind of settled. At least they have all their committee members. Scott, let me ask you a question. Would you make this trade? Trade alert.
Hey, so, there we go. Trade alert.
Nice. So it involves someone that you were fawning over, Kiki Kuti, and a 2020 first for Corey Davis. Ooh, but Corey Davis.
I would much, much rather the first and Kuti.
Mm-hmm.
I was never high on Corey Davis. He's Same shown here. Me nothing to be high on Corey Davis, and I am high on AJ Brown. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love
and I love the 2020 class. Like I said.
All right, let's see what happens.
That was easy.
What? Wait. What do you mean? Let's see what happens. Is that an offer you're sending out?
I'm sending it out. I might have rejected it earlier. I don't know.
So then it wasn't.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but Scott does charge for these kinds of things. So
Shane tried to slip that in there to get some free trade advice from Scott. I thought you were going to talk about the trade alerts that we have on the show sheet, but it's something you just wanted to do.
This was live and happening.
That's impulsive. I like it.
It was live and just, look, breaking news. It's breaking trade alert news. You know what I mean? So it's a breaking trade alert.
It's
a new hashtag.
Good word.
So because Grant Barfield came on and stole my job. So I had to come up with a new hashtag and it's breaking trade alert.
Yeah, he did good with trade alert. No, but it is true. I think, Jeremy, you mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Whenever a guest talks up a player, Shane starts sending out some offers. So that was pretty good. That was pretty good that you did that just now. But you did have a couple trade alerts on the show sheet, though, didn't you?
I did. Okay, so the first one, because I like to make these a little bit fun.
Which team is yours?
Yes. Yeah, so first off, based on the names, you need to tell me which team is mine. So the trading involves Agent Dale Cooper and the envelope.
Well, I get the Agent Dale Cooper. That's Twin Peaks. But what the hell is the envelope?
I have no idea.
You're a smart guy from what I understand.
I have no idea.
Christ, Manila envelopes. Come on.
Oh my God.
The envelope.
That's so funny.
I'm not very good at team
Manila
names.
Envelope.
Yeah, I might actually have the worst team names of anyone that ever existed. Like, just, and I sit up all night trying to think of clever ones, and it never works.
Oh, my God. That is so funny, because, like, the Dale Cooper thing popped right into my head, but I couldn't figure out what the hell the envelope would be, but I didn't even think about Manila envelope. That's pretty funny. So you gave up Philip Rivers
and got Sterling Shepard.
And got Sterling Shepard.
Yeah. That's what you did?
Yeah.
What I was going to say, without knowing what the team names meant, I was going to say you were the one who gave up Philip Rivers, because I know you've done it a couple other times, including with me. We've done a trade where you gave up Philip Rivers. So I assume that was you. I just didn't get what the envelope was.
So that was the most confusing part, not the fact that I sold a quarterback in a super flex league for a wide receiver 2-3 guy.
No, like I said, I've done the trade with you as well in other leagues where I've gotten Philip Rivers off
you. You're like a magician.
So
we stopped caring about the trade values and the players involved, and we're more concerned with the team names. Thanks. This is really good trickery.
And I know what players Shane likes to give away and what players Shane likes to get. So
yeah, man, I've literally been trying to sell Philip Rivers in this league for like a solid fucking year, and just nobody would offer me shit for him. And I have like Carson Wentz, which is obviously, like the QB.
Oh, big surprise.
Player.
You do? You have Carson Wentz on your team?
I got Carson Wentz. I got Jameis. I got Nick Foles. I have like five starting quarterbacks in that league, and nobody wanted to buy any from me. So Philip Rivers. So I eventually was like, all right, like my offers, the best offer I got before this was like 2 seconds. I was like, all right, just give me Sterling Shepard.
I'm telling you, look, I've benefited from this from you already once, maybe twice, but there's other people in leagues that I'm in that do the same thing. It's so great when a person is trying to get rid of something and nobody will trade them. And then they get frustrated to the point where they say, all right, just give me Sterling Shepard. That's the greatest time to do a trade with somebody like Shane.
You know someone's desperate when they want Sterling Shepard.
Well, it's just so funny.
I'll tell you what, though. I really do like Sterling Shepard this year. I think he's going to have a very good season.
I will just say this about the trade in general. Like in the DFB draft, I actually wanted to go into that sort of punting quarterbacks. Like we didn't ended up not going that route, but I strongly consider it just because in so many leagues, I was in a league where I bought Ben Roethlisberger for a second round pick 4 years ago. Uh-huh. And the guy's reasoning was because Roethlisberger is going to retire soon. And like, obviously that didn't happen, but in so many leagues, these like super old quarterbacks go for so cheap, but Rivers is going to be a borderline QB1 this year. So
yep.
I do like that strategy.
I love Priv.
Yeah, I mean, there's just he's not going to start over Carson Wentz or Jameis Winston for me. Not Winston.
I mean, yeah, of Arian course, Dobbins. I got that.
Yeah. So I mean, and it's just honestly, if trust me, if there was a reason to hold on to him or think that, like I said, I don't know. You've never. Oh wait, we are in a trade together, or a league together, Scott. Obviously.
Yeah, the TFB Invitational that he invited us to.
But it's different though because it's I have co-owners. So in leagues, I'm in by myself. Like I send out numerous offers. Like you might get the same guy might get three different fucking variations of a trade offer from me.
Yes,
come on, man. You're lucky that Mike and I are in this league with you because you're guaranteed to have a better team than you have on your own. I mean, let's just be real. I mean, you make it sound negative.
No, I was literally just stating the fact that, you know, when I have other co-owners, I can't just blast out trades on my own.
You can't be as impulsive,
because then you guys might be like, hey, Shane, I noticed you traded all of our starting wide receivers. And I'll be like, yeah, I'm on running backs this week.
Were you drinking again?
Don't listen to them, Shane. Give me a call later.
It's not
just you and I. Yeah, there you go, Scott.
Scott did say that his rookies are on the block in the DFB Invitational, which is the league we were just referencing. You know, the last time we had you on the show, Scott, was the third round. It wasn't even done yet, I think.
Wow.
The third round of the startup. And so a lot has happened since then. You know, strategies maybe altered a bit. You were talking about the quarterbacks and you didn't want to go quarterback heavy. Didn't exactly pan out that way. What did you see, like, during the course of that draft, how did your strategy change given all the other, you know, top shelf talent in that league, and then us pulling up the rear.
Why do you say that? Don't say it.
No,
that
I mean,
way.
Like, there's some big names, Leviathans, as I said, of fantasy football, and then our podcast. And, you know, I think we can hold our own, you know, and compete because it's a dynasty league. But
we could definitely hold our own. Don't say that.
I want to know how his strategy changed, though, and his team with his co-owner, TJ Calkins, how that went. You know, tell us about did it meet your expectations? Were you happy with it? What happened?
I mean, I couldn't be more impressed by, you know, what TJ did and just the roster as a whole. I think we have arguably the most competitive short-term roster. And then on top of that, we have three 2020 second round picks, two or three 2020 first round picks. So we're arguably set up the best team long-term too.
Balance,
so I think we're just going to dominate you guys for a really long time. I'm super excited about it.
I don't know about dominate, but yeah.
I think we're going to dominate. But as far as you know, shifts in strategy, one of the biggest things for me was I wanted two of the, you know, top five dynasty tight ends. Got that. But I also wanted like three like really good low-end tight end ones to potentially start in the flex for us. This is a tight end premium. We got Delanie Walker, and that was about it, but I was definitely certainly happy with Delanie. As far as the quarterbacks are concerned, we had to get Carson Wentz. He was just too good of a value at that spot, and that's TJ's boy. Matt Ryan was a guy I targeted before the draft even started, and then just the price for the 101 was way too cheap. So, mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't our strategy, but like obviously super happy with our three quarterbacks.
Yeah, and then Matt Ryan's probably going to end up being the quarterback one this year since he's got 12 games inside a dome or something like that. 12
That's
to,
right.
12 to whatever it was, but it's at least 10 games in a dome. Well, no, it has to be more. Yeah, no. It's like 12 games at home. At home. Jesus fucking Christ. Have fun editing tonight, Mike. 12
it's
games
no worries.
Inside a dome.
You know what is funny though, Scott? We had Graham on the show a couple weeks ago and we were talking about the league, and then we were mentioning how we look forward to the week that we play him, that we could talk about it on the show. And then that's when we noticed that the schedule hadn't been set up. So Graham had made a couple comments about you not setting up the schedule yet. So I was going to say the same thing to you about, hey, I can't wait to discuss when we play each other. And I clicked on the schedule and I saw that the schedule still isn't set up.
Look, I'm not concerned about Scott because he doesn't pay attention to the details. There's no way he starts a full lineup against us.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I got TJ for. But I will say about the schedule, you know, me and TJ keep trying to go into NFL to set the schedule. But every time we go into the league page, we just can't help but just like roster bait. lineup for hours, so we just never get to it.
That is pretty funny, but yeah, once you do finally get around to doing the schedule, we'd like to know when we play you so that we can have you back on that week and we can talk about it.
Right. Hopefully it's a week where you guys have a ton of bye weeks. That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, so then maybe you'll actually manually do the schedule then.
That's right. I have to do what the NFL does and just spend like 5 weeks poring over all the potential factors to give us the biggest edge.
It is pretty funny. Yeah. And Graham was like kind of joking around on your benefit about that. So we did have one more trade here that Shane wanted to discuss before we finish up here, right? It was a salary cap trade.
I got all types of trades. They all get names now too. That's what I like.
That's why I noticed, because it's in bold. It says salary cap trade.
So you missed this one. So I'm going to just go down to this one. So this one's called the maybe Damian Williams will keep starting KC starting gig all season trade.
Okay, so wait, so you're just going to totally blow off the salary cap one?
Yeah, we'll get back to that. Hey, whatever, we'll talk about that at some point. But
our show sheet is so great. Okay, so go ahead with the Damian Williams one.
The hashtag maybe Damian Williams will keep the starting KC gig all season trade.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, so I traded James Washington and a
2023rd.
Yeah, Debbie depleted for not Damian Harris, as it indicates on the show sheet, because that would be a really name for the trade if I traded for Damian Harris, but for Damian Williams.
Yeah, I would do
that's
that
a huge
trade.
Win.
Yeah, exactly. I would do that trade too.
Potentially
anytime.
Starting running back.
Yeah.
So one massive season. Win for you, Shane. Congrats.
Yes. Yay, me.
I'm guessing the other two helped in that. You made that all on your own?
Yeah, I was allowed. Jeremy's actually in this league with me.
Wow.
But not together.
Is that the salary cap league?
No, oh my God. No. This was the meth head league.
Wait, what's that noise?
Scott's being chased by the police.
Scott's now in his car with a loud beeping.
I need my car charger. Sorry, guys.
Scott,
this show is like all over the place.
That's fun editing, because this is a shit show tonight.
You know,
I don't even know what the fuck we were talking about. We never got to Scott's
I know. Let's
report.
Yeah, we've kind of gone way off track here with talking about a lot of the things that we were talking about. But before we finish tonight, Scott, we did want to talk to you about your injury report article.
Yeah. So you know, when people think about injury discounts, they think about, you know, someone like Delanie Walker, who, you know, been an easy tight end one, you know, 5 of the past 6 years. And the time he wasn't was last year when he played in just one game. And right now he's an ADP, you know, well below any of those other finishes. You know, he's out of sight, out of mind. So people aren't really thinking about him. It drives his ADP down. That's one type of guy. The other is, you know, like Julian Edelman, who we talked about before. He's only played all 16 games just twice in his career. So, you know, injury risk is high for someone like him. That's why he's wide receiver 15, even though if we included postseason, he would have finished 10th in fantasy points per game. But I wanted to look at injury discounts a different way. I wanted to look at guys who were playing multiple games hurt or were on the injury report multiple weeks. So then if you adjusted for that, those guys had, you know, really glaring splits, and you take out those injury weeks, you know, were far more productive than they seem. One of those guys, you know, Dante Pettis, averaged something like 20 fantasy points per game in games he saw 5 or more targets and didn't leave early due to injury. Kiki Kuti is another one of those guys. Anthony Miller, like I said before, another guy. Sony Michel, another one. I think his 3 worst games all came when he was on the injury report. That's something you're going to have to worry about with him, just with a degenerative arthritic knee. But yeah, if you take those out, he was an easy RB1. So just looks at a bunch of guys like that. Yeah, you can check it out. It's on my Twitter feed.
And all those receivers you mentioned, the 3 young receivers, I love all 3 of those guys. So that's just actually encouraging to hear.
Right, me too. And just today, Deshaun Watson was quoted. This is also on my Twitter feed. Just said, Kiki Kuti looks incredible, so much better than he did last year. Remember, this guy is so young. So it makes sense that just one offseason is going to be a serious jump for him. But it says he looks so much faster. And remember, he missed a giant chunk of training camp with an ankle injury. Like, that's typically a death knell for young receivers, you know, missing a large portion of training camp didn't hamper him. And then he played multiple weeks with that ankle injury. I don't think he ever went more than 2 weeks without missing a game or popping up on the injury report with that ankle. So you really need to give an injury discount to him. And, you know, Watson backs it up. It says the guy looks incredible, like so much faster. Meanwhile, you know, he was putting up high-end wide receiver two numbers when he played at least 50% of snaps anyway. So with a bad ankle, you know, really looks like he's poised for a massive breakout this year.
And despite the fact that people think that DeAndre Hopkins, who can catch every single pass apparently from Deshaun Watson, is not in fact going to catch every single pass that Deshaun Watson throws this year. But
well, and I also think we've come full circle with a lot of different discussions on the show, so we'll have to have Kiki Kuti somehow in the title of the show. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so Scott.
Kiki and Scott running from the cops.
Exactly. Scott.
I got nothing.
Thank you for coming.
I hear dogs barking. I'm worried they just released the hounds.
That's what I was just going to say. Thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully you're safe with whatever it is you're trying to do with your car and your phone and all that stuff. We really appreciate you coming on.
Set your schedule before you get captured.
Yes,
I'll have to work on it. Right.
And also, you can send us an offer too. So, you know, if you think we're gonna want one of your rookies, I'm not sure where you're going. Let us know if there's something we can do for you in the scheme of 2020 or whatever. I was hoping we could talk about that a little bit on this show, but we didn't get to it. I know Shane's just champing at the bit to make a trade tonight. It's after 10. That's what he does.
All right. Well, maybe we'll send you something, and then we'll talk about it on the next show. What happens with it? So
I love it.
I'm going to formulate a trade on the Patreon episode.
Oh, well, maybe we'll do it on the Patreon. So
remember, the
Patreon
episodes are better than these ones.
Shut up. Well, Scott, thank you so much, and be safe, and we really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, buddy.
No problem. I better get a trade proposal from you guys tonight, though.
I'll make sure he sends you something during the Patreon thing.
It's a deal.
All right, thanks, guys. I'll see you.
Good night.
Yep,
bye.
Take care, man. See you out there. Bye.
All right, so before we send him an offer during the Patreon show, we'll wrap up tonight's show. So why don't you guys go check out our Twitter account at Dynasty Trades HQ and check out our iTunes account at Dynasty Trades HQ and check out our store at Jeremy has to go to the restroom. So Jeremy, say goodbye right now.
Peace out, everybody. I'm going to go take a leak.
Okay, bye, Jeremy. Check out our store at dthq.storeenvy.com.
I bought a hat from there the other day. I think it was a dad hat.
Is that
I didn't
what
others existed, so yeah. I got a dad hat.
I saw you having that conversation on Twitter with a couple people.
I didn't know that was a thing. I was like, oh, I got to have this.
It was funny. I was out of town at a convention, and I kept seeing you talking to people about a dad hat. So, yeah, go check out our store. Check out our Twitter. Check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. We've got some big things coming up in the month of June with the website, so keep an eye out on that. And go join our Patreon account so that you can hear the trade that we're going to try to put together and also some of the people that won some spots in our listener league. So have a great night, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Say bye, Shane.
Bye. Bye, Shane.
Bye.